You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Last year, the Public Theater began a community-based initiative with Public Works presentation of The Tempest at the Delacorte Theater. The New York Times called it stirring, delightful, and vibrantly alive and said it was a love letter to Shakespeare and to the city of New York. This year, Public Works and its director, Lear de Bessonnet, are returning to the Delacorte with The Winter's Tale. Equity actors play some of the parts, but the show also features community partner organizations such as the Children's Aid Society, the Dream Yard Project, Fortune Society, Brownsville Recreation Center, and Domestic Workers United, along with a few special guests like the New York Theater Ballet and the gang from Sesame Street. And joining us now are Lear de Bessonnet, who won an Obie last year for her direction of Bertolt Brecht's Good Person of Sichuan, and actor Todd Almond, who plays Antigonus and has also written music and lyrics for the production. The Winter's Tale will be performed at the Delacorte Central Park from September 5th through the 7th, just 3 days. And I'm very pleased to welcome Lear de Bessonnet and also Todd Almond to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Thanks.
What is Public Works, Lear?
Public Works is an initiative of the Public Theater designed to create ambitious community-based theater in partnership with organizations from the five boroughs.
And you say that you fell in love with the idea of community-based theater when you were a kid in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, I've decided that is, if I trace back the origin of this impulse, I do think it goes back to my childhood and the fact that theater, as I encountered it growing up in Louisiana, was really about Mardi Gras and church and football games.
Well, Baton Rouge is close enough to New Orleans,
so, yes.
And New Orleans is theater all the time, isn't it?
Yes, life is theater there, yes.
You said about this production of The Tempest that it wasn't for purists, but Shakespeare people have embraced it. How did you manage to win them over?
Oh, goodness. Well, the statement that it wasn't for purists is really just acknowledging that, first of all, we're creating a 90-minute musical adaptation of Winter's Tale, which that in itself means that we're having to make some strong creative choices. But also, we are really approaching the work with a lens toward wanting to create the sort of widest possible entry point for the largest number of people, and that is our organizing priority.
The Times reviewer of The Tempest expressed some reservations about the idea of combining Shakespeare and music, but he was won over as well. And Todd, do we know whether music was included in Shakespeare's original productions of his plays?
Absolutely. I think that was a major part of the shows. And I think another reason perhaps people were won over by The Tempest was that Shakespeare himself invites you to be creative on a grand scale within the text of his play. He'll say, here, the Dance of the Twelve Satyrs happens, and he doesn't say a lot more than that. And so that's where I think he's suggesting a lot of humanity and a lot of music and a lot of joy, and I think that's one of the things that Public Works is successful
at. But I can understand it with the comedies. Winter's Tale is a rather dark play.
Well, we actually make a little joke about that in the play. It's both, though. It's a tragedy in the beginning, and then it's a comedy, and then it's a combination, which is, I think, indicative of a lot of Shakespeare's later plays and one thing we're interested in.
Well, do you think most plays would be enhanced with some music edit? Long Day's Journey into Night? Death of a Salesman?
We have identified that there are certain classics that will not ever be created into Public Works civic dramas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, it is coincidental only, Lear, that this production is following the closing of King Lear.
It is entirely coincidental.
Have you ever thought of doing Lear?
I mean, it's my destiny, right, on some level. But I think I don't know that I would do a 200-person King Lear.
Were your non-professional participants intimidated at first? There was an article about rehearsals last year in the New York Times, and one of them, Zeus Walton, repeatedly used variations of the word terror in describing the process and its participants. Have you experienced that,
process,
a little bit of that yourself?
I think the artistic process has an element of terror in it for everyone,
for
all artists.
Yeah.
That's part of what's involved in pushing yourself, you know, to
You walk into
limit.
A room full of a 110-person chorus and you say, here's a song that we all have to learn the music to and the choreography to, and I need you to hear it, and I'm exposing myself by playing you this song, and it's scary for everyone.
But in this case, you also have such a wide range of participants. You have community groups, non-professionals, and then you have performance groups as well. You have the Calpulli Mexican Dance Company. As a director, weren't you just a bit daunted by having to put all these elements together?
Yeah, I think that part of the way we conceive of these, and this was true of Tempest and it's true of Winter's Tale as well, is that what we're looking for is moments in the story, moments in the text as Shakespeare wrote it, that call for some sort of large theatrical gesture to serve the storytelling. So we always want to be meeting the story, never superimposing something on it. So in Winter's Tale, for example, there is a big storm that happens about 30 minutes into the show, and we have Dance Brazil, the capoeira dancers from Dance Brazil are creating that storm. And for us, the collaborating with that group on that moment is, again, in service of the story. So that is the principle that we use when we're thinking about how all these pieces are fitting together.
Todd, you've collaborated with Lear before, but also with other people, haven't you? Sarah Rule,
yes.
Adam Bach, Sherry Renee Scott, among others.
Yes.
How do you find a way to interpret their visions musically? Do you have to adjust each time?
One does always meet their collaborator and hope that there's some sort of spark, and I think that's probably why Lear and I have worked together. We were trying to count the other day. I mean, I think it's on at least a dozen projects over the years because there's just always a nice spark.
At Lincoln Center and at the Public.
Lincoln Center, the Public. She directed Sherry Renee Scott's show. And
The Old Globe.
The Old Globe.
54 Below.
All over.
And then some of the music is not your own. I understand you've done an arrangement of On the Street Where You Live that...
Oh, for Laura? Yeah, that was for Laura Benanti. I work with her as well. Yeah.
That kind of freaked people out? It was on the street where you live by a stalker?
Well, I did that so many years ago. But then Laura and I did a version for her show at 54 Below. But that song somehow pops up in my world a lot. I'm not sure why.
Lair, how did you come up with this particular list of community groups? Were there certain criteria?
Yes, for the five core partners that we've been working with, and we've now been collaborating for 2 full years with the groups you initially listed, Brownsville Recreation Center, Domestic Workers United, Fortune Society, Children's Aid, and Dreamyard. And I think we were hoping that the organizations are representative really of the whole city in terms of they're spread across the boroughs. We have participants from ages 4 to people in their 90s. And I think that in each of the cases, we found a partner that was really – that had their own vision of how they could see theater as an agent of change within the work they were already doing.
How big is the cast?
I think right now we're at 203. We're monitoring it closely.
And it must be a nightmare scheduling rehearsals. I can't imagine that members of the Domestic Workers United can be available at the drop of a hat.
The scheduling is the single most complicated aspect of the entire thing. It's scheduled within an inch of its life. We have an ingenious stage manager named Evangeline Whitlock who has spreadsheets that would make your mind explode.
Todd, you also acted these productions. Mm-hmm. You were your Antigonus in Winter's Tale. You were Ariel in The Tempest. What's it like to be working with these non-professionals?
It's great. There's such a constantly refreshing amount of energy on the stage from a 110-person chorus of non-professionals. It's thrilling. And part of the reason we decided to put me in the shows, not just have me as the composer, was that so I could sort of be on stage and be a master of ceremonies and just kind of keep the thing running.
And Lear, is that how you've worked out putting this very complicated, very convoluted plot of The Winter's Tale into 90 minutes with music and dance?
Yes, we did find
This is a Shakespeare's problem play, one of his most famous problem plays.
It is. It's one of his late romances. It is considered a problem play. I find it gorgeous and really incredibly compelling in that that complexity. But we figured out that that famous line, exit pursued by a bear, it really became an entry point for us in thinking about who Todd should play in this one. And we felt like...
So you're playing the bear?
Todd is
Don't
pursued
think that didn't,
by the bear.
Right, right.
Yes. So you have to get a professional bear?
The bear is a surprise, I have to say.
It's a pretty
Everyone
great
is going to have to come and see how the bear is dealt with.
Yeah.
Todd, were you at all inspired by the fact that your fifth grade choir teacher told you you couldn't sing?
Oh, my gosh. I want to know who your fact finder is because you are excellent. I think I am constantly inspired by that hurdle. And if, boy, I think back on that day, and if you had tried to stop me from bawling hysterically the day I did not make it into the fifth grade show choir, you would have failed.
There, you weren't alone. One of my producer's brothers was told in the first grade to mouth the words but not sing, and he never sang again.
Oh, gosh. Oh. I mean, luckily I had teachers later on who insisted upon it and, you know, kind of chiseled away at my fear.
But Todd, that is actually a good, you know, link into what we're doing because all of us are overcoming obstacles in the process of doing this. Everyone is pushing through their own fear and their own sense of what's possible for them. And it's sort of a lot of courage is mustered in order to bring this thing into the world.
Todd was told not to sing. You didn't study theater in college.
No, I didn't. My degree was in political and social thought. And, you know, growing up in Louisiana, I certainly directed a lot of shows in my backyard, but those mostly featured my sister and our dog. So I really did have to spur myself along, I think.
I understand, Todd, that you have a musical that's being presented at Playwrights Horizon this season.
That's right. It's a musical called Iowa that I wrote with Jenny Schwartz.
Will it be difficult for you to move back to that smaller scale?
Well, you know, Jenny and I have been working on this piece with Ken Schmall for a very long time. So I feel like it'll be a nice time to, you know, enclose myself in that universe again. But then Lear and I, we're dreaming up so many things that, you know.
What is next, Lear?
Oh, goodness. Well, we have...
Do we have to wait till next year?
We have some things in the works.
Yes, you may have to wait until next year, but we have, Todd and I have multiple irons in the fire.
Have you ever thought of doing Lear with some music?
There's something about public works that really requires an ultimately joyous play that I think that's why Winter's Tale and Tempest work so well. I'm not sure Lear
And I
would.
Like that in with both Winter's Tale and Tempest, even though there is ultimately joy. It is joy that is
fought for yeah.
very yeah. much so, and it's not an easy joy. It's a joy yeah. that acknowledges that life does have
that's why I,
significant.
Yeah, I like the problem play aspect of it because it's not just a comedy. I mean, you eventually get to resolution, but you really have to fight your way there. And yeah. I think that's true of life.
What about fighting your way into the theater? How do you get a ticket to this?
Oh, yes. Well, the tickets are free, as all Shakespeare in the Park tickets. And
Because this is still connected with the public theater.
That's right. This is the public theater, Shakespeare in the Park. And you can go online at publictheater.org for the info. But basically, tickets are distributed day of show starting at noon. And there's also an online lottery.
All of their other shows.
Yep, that's
an
right.
An online lottery?
Yes. You can also... Rather than – it's sort of a virtual line. Rather than physically standing in line, you can wait in line online.
And there are just three performances. And then what happens to this production? Do you take it on the road?
It's like Brigadoon, right? It vanishes into the air.
But also part of Public Works is that it's a year-long program that Lear – you know,
that's right.
There's the classes and the meetings continue throughout the year, and Lear could
that's
talk
right.
more about that.
Yes. I mean, like all this past year, we've had monthly potluck dinners with the full cast of The Tempest, and that will continue going into this next year as well. So the show is really sort of the most visible manifestation of the program, but the program is an ongoing thing that's really grounded in really deep longitudinal relationships.
And The Winter's Tale, as I said, will be performed at the Delacorte Theater in Central Park from September 5th through the 7th. That's the 5th, 6th, and 7th. And my great thanks to the Public Works Director, Lear de Bessonnet, for coming by to talk about it, along with Tom Ammond, who is Todd Ammond, who's playing Antigonus and has also written music and lyrics for the production. Any songs that I'm going to go out singing?
Oh, yes. Oh, I think the curtain call, you're going to be on your feet. Right. I will look for you.
It's hard writing songs with names like Antigonus in them.
Yeah, well, you know, we kind of make little jokes about that, too.
Yeah.
Thank you both so much for being on our show.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you.